This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
You're with Radio City Talk. I'm Steve Hothersall. Right, let's have a look at a very important subject which has dominated headlines for some time, but seems to be even more apparent to us now. A couple of weeks ago, we had the MMA fighter Paul Bentley in. He talked about launching his No More Knives campaign and the problem of knives within our city. We saw the terrible, tragic loss of life of Sam Cooke, who was out celebrating his birthday. And even just last weekend, another stabbing in our city, as a young student was the target. Today, I'm going to talk to a gentleman who works with young people in the city, some of whom perhaps have strayed into wrong areas, maybe knife crime, maybe gun crime as well. And Alan Walsh is that man. He works at the Anfield Sports and Community Centre. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for your company. Just tell us a little bit about your job role.
I'm very lucky. I work with lots of magnificent young people. I specialise in gang culture, though. That's what I'm mostly known for in the city. I work with a lot of young people who are deemed at risk of being involved in gang culture or involved in knife and gun crime. The stats that are out there would say that it's a massive problem. Actually, it's not as much of a problem. The gang culture is more of a problem, but the actual weapons on the streets isn't as much as what people actually think. Though there is a lot out there, but it's not as bad as what people think.
What, guns or knives?
Guns, I'd be happy to say, in my experience with young people, guns is a very little issue with the guns. The knives are more and more, it's easier to get hold of a knife, it's more accessible to get hold of a knife. The majority of young people that we've worked with, I'd say a good 80% who I've known have carried a knife carrier for their own protection, and they'll never ever use it, touch wood, that they'll never use it anyway. But they don't carry it to go out and hurt other young people or hurt anyone else. They think it's safe because it's a craze that's come from wherever else that it's cool to carry a knife.
You've worked with young people for a significant amount of time, so you've worked alongside sort of this gang culture that does exist within the city. Has the attitude of those gangs changed?
I'd say the media has had a bigger impact on the gang culture than anything else. The young people, I'd done a lot of research over about 10 years ago, and young people just want to be known as a group of young people. But the media tend to put labels on them, like the gangs that are known in Liverpool at the moment. One of the historic ones is like the Crocky Crew and Noxy Crew and stuff like that. The media portray them, they give them a lot of, they put the badge of honour on them and stuff like that. The majority of young people are just in a group of young people like we were when we were kids. When you look at gang culture, it's gone on since the Teddy Boys and stuff like that. That gang culture's always been there, and in the Teddy Boy era, a lot of knives were used then. So we've had a massive drop-off over the years of weapons being used. But again, I think it's more the media portrayed. There's a lot more media out, social media and stuff like that. So when that does happen in the city, it's blasted all over Facebook and social media, so everyone gets to know about it, where many years ago there wasn't that sort of coverage for it.
We're talking about a lot more knife attacks these days. Yeah. Are there more knife attacks? Are you hearing of more of a craze of that happening?
I could sit here in line and say, yeah, no, I don't, but yeah, there is. There's more of that. It's more in, I would say, the older element, when you say older than 18 to 30s brackets. I think the younger generation of young people get a lot more bad press over it, it's them, but it's not. I think from me, the work I've done, you look, it's more 18 plus who are using the knives, and it's more in town and city centre based, I'd say. You do get stuff happening in the streets and stuff like that out of the city centre, but they catch more media attention when it's in the city centre because of the tourists and stuff like that.
Alan, do you know people who carry knives?
I do, and I've worked with them and stuff like that, and not all of them are carrying them because they want people to be scared of them. They're carrying them because they fear. In Liverpool, we have a massive, massive postcode rivalry where young people can't go from one street to another or one area to another, and I know kids who are carrying them to school because they've got to go through three or four different areas.
You know children who take knives into schools?
Yeah.
Does it shock you?
No, and that's... But saying knife crime does shock me still because it's personal, knife crime. It's shootings don't shock me, and when I read the paper and I see a shooting, it doesn't shock me, unless it's a young kid like Rhys Jones and stuff like that, then the shock value is always still there and that should always stay there. Knife crime's personal, and you've got to get up close when you use a knife, And I know what it's like. I've been stabbed myself, so I know. You to stab somebody, you have to feel it going in. You've surely there's something there that I'm trying to work with doctors at the moment and some people on research and what because people blame it on mental health. I don't think it is mental health. I think there's underlying issues there why people do use knives because it's such a personal thing to do.
Can you tell us about the attack on yourself? Is that something?
I was many years ago. That one. I was coming home from a club and got jumped by four people and stabbed me three times and slashed me once and I was in a bad way in hospital, but. That's.
Did you think that was it? Did you when you were stabbed? Did you know you'd been stabbed?
No, I got in a taxi and asked him to take me to the garage for some ziggies.
Right.
And then I collapsed, and then he carried the taxi driver carried me into the hospital.
So you had an early experience of a knife attack.
Yeah.
You've seen how bad it can affect people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mentally,
yeah.
Physically.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd hate to say, it, but I've been to quite a few, too many young people's funerals regarding knife crime, and I've. Worked with quite a lot of perpetrators of knife crime as well. You do over the space. I get called in when there's stuff happening. So it's like, it might sound like I'm contradicting myself saying, oh, there's not a lot out there, but anything that happens in the city, I get a phone call. So this week, my emails, and the last couple of weeks, my emails and my phone have been like the hotline, stuff like that. So it's I get to see nice stuff that's happening in the city where people don't want to see that. Young people are young people. They just need talking to. We need to work with them. We can't hide the fact that stuff's happening in the streets and stuff like that. We just, I hate to say about the funding and stuff like that, but it is. We cut the funding, we can't work with these young people. Services go. I do a lot of work with schools, I do a lot of work with the Crime Commissioner's Office, I do a lot of work with some massive partners, LFC, EFC foundations and stuff like that. These are people who realise that in the city there is a little problem. We are the safest city in the country, by all accounts, to come and visit and stay in. These people in these massive organisations, the people who can make changes, realise that there's something going on. There is an underlying issue regarding knife crime in the city. All the stats prove that there's going to be a bigger explosion of knife crime in the city because it's phases that we go through in the city with stuff with young people. But we need to nip that in the bud now. We need to stop it now before it gets any further. There's loads of people out there doing knife crime stuff. There is lots and lots there. I'm in the process of doing a massive, massive project with some very big partners. That's not going to just be a 12-month project. It's going to be a years and years project. England Boxing are the driving force behind it, so they've got the media machine behind them and they've got connections and stuff that we can help these young people. So we're going to give these young people who are involved in knife crime and gang culture a pathway out of it. And that's what it is. We've got to. We can't just go in and say, oh, we've got to change these young people. We have to give them something.
It's an education process, isn't it?
It's got to be. Prevention. And more and more now that we've got to prevent in the boxing club, what we do, we have kids age 5 coming in and stuff like that. And I work with the families and we work stuff like that. And there's, it's intervention does work to a certain extent, but by that time, you're looking at young people as age of 12 might be already lost to the criminal elements and stuff like that. And trying to get that young person back away from that sort of lifestyle is very hard. Now, you say to a young person who can earn so much a week for so many hours a week and it's a pretty decent lifestyle, you try and say to them, yeah, you come away from that and we'll pay you £3 an hour. The odds are they won't do it. We've got to give them something to get away from it for. So like in the boxing club, we do prevention work. Problem with prevention work, you can't prove that it's worked because people don't know that this kid or this young adult was going to go into the criminality lifestyle. The odds are they will have the area where they were born, the people who they've grew up with have gone into that lifestyle. But funding won't fund you for prevention work. Not many people will fund you for prevention work. Prevention is 10 times better than intervention. It's proven.
Right, I'm talking with Alan Walsh from the Anfield Sports and Community Centre. He runs the Anfield Boxing Club and he deals with gun and knife crime and young gangs as well. You talked about schools. Schools are meant to be sanctuaries. Parents would hope that is the situation, but you've openly said there's youngsters who take knives into schools. How young are we talking about? Well, what ages?
The youngest I've ever dealt with is age 10.
A 10-year-old taking a knife into a school?
Yeah.
For a protection purpose? Or for an aggressive purpose?
It's not to do with the school. When they're in school, they're safe. They feel safe. It's the roots of school. That's where they feel unsafe. That's, say, because you've got a 10-year-old who's crossing four different wards to go to a school or getting a bus through different parts of the city. They feel safe. They don't realise that the stats actually prove that if they ever do pull that knife, they're going to become the victim of knife crime. They won't become the perpetrator. So the story is a sad end for them, most probably.
What do you mean by those stats?
It's proven right across the country that somebody who's not into that sort of lifestyle, these kids, what I'm talking about, these kids aren't your kids that are portrayed in the media, that's street kids that are rough kids. These kids are just your everyday normal kid who wants to get to school.
They're good kids.
They're very good kids.
Yeah, they're just worried about themselves. Yeah.
So if they do pull that knife out, they won't know how to use it. They won't know. The odds are they'll freeze. And well, the stats do prove they freeze. And the people who are going to pick on them or whatever, it'll take it off them. And it gets used on them then. So they become the victim instead of the perpetrator of the crime. So that's one of the big things we're looking at the moment, going around to do assemblies on, about doing people, about getting this across to them. You've got to stop carrying the knife. Getting a smack might be better than getting a stab and stuff like that. It's one of these that we're trying to get the message across that carrying a knife in any form is going to lead to trouble, no matter where you're at.
When you're talking to a youngster and you're trying to tell them that, whether it be in your community centre or the neighbourhood, are you talking to a brick wall? Is it really hard to get that across to say, look, don't take the knife in?
No, not at all. It's the kids. A lot of these kids that I've worked with, the harder ones, the harder channel, are from broken communities where they get up every morning, the council don't give a monkey's about them. The people who can make a change in that community don't care about the community. It's a forgotten community. So every day is a battle to them. So people like us, when we go in and talk to them, young people will fight at the, when I say fight, not physically, they'll put a barrier up to you. But as soon as you offer that young person some structure in their life and safety, and they know that you're there to help them and care for them, now the young people at the end of the day, we can't. I've sat with people who've said this is the forgotten generation. How can you forget about young people? You can't. You can't do that.
Would knife arches work at schools? In fact, do they use them already?
North Liverpool Academy. And I embrace any school, and I've got respect for any school that is based in a community like where North Academy is based. And you will. Most communities, affluent communities, where I have drug problems, weapon problems, gang problems and whatever else. And I know I've worked in different parts of the city, so I know that. But North Liverpool Academy, they have embraced it. They have the local police in and they put up the knife arches. The kids know that. The kids talk to us openly about it, say this. And it's brilliant. Now, as a parent, I would send my kid to any of these schools that deal with racism, knife crime, drugs issues or anything like that, because the school haven't got the blinkers on. The school know.
So if they're openly talking about it and dealing with it.
Well, I'm at the moment in the talking to one of the teachers in North Liverpool Academy. We're going in to do assemblies and help her out. She's doing the knife crime assemblies with their young people. Do you know the kids will come across it in their communities? So deal with it. That's what the schools are there for.
What do you fear if nothing is done about this on a bigger scale? Obviously, you've been working hard for a long time to try and get a message across. But what do you fear if it's not dealt with?
There's going to be more deaths, and there will be. I met up with a family who lost somebody not so long ago to knife crime, and they're starting up a foundation and stuff like that, and they were asking my advice, and I said to them, do you know that in 12 months you'd be forgotten about? And that's the big fear, that we will stand at more gravesides with young people, and no one should have to do that.
Younger people?
Yeah, there will be an explosion in the next 12 months to 2 years. There'll be a big explosion where more and more young people are carrying knives, more young people who don't know what they're doing with these knives, and more young people who will be standing in court saying, I didn't mean it, and people at graveyards, sides with the kids. That's where we're at, and that's where we will be in 2 years' time.
Does it feel senseless to you when you're at one of those funerals and talking to the families of victims?
It's not worse than the young person who's been taken away from the... They've got the whole life in front of them. There's nothing worse, from a youth aware point of view, so the families, there's nothing worse than seeing, I'd done a programme ages ago around about the ripple effect, what knife crime has, and I was crossing the road and a lollipop man said to me, it's a shame about that kid, isn't it? And I said, well, how did you know him? And he said, well, I crossed him over when he was a little baby over the road. So I'd done a bit of research and I'd done a programme called the ripple effect, and you don't realise how many people in a community get affected by a young person losing their life. You just think it's the immediate family, and it's not. It is the lollipop man. It's the man in the sweet shop, the lady in the sweet shop who know the kid when they were little and stuff like that. It's nothing worse than a young person's eye. Nothing worse.
I really appreciate you coming in to talk about this. No more knives is the message that's being put out there at the moment. And that's, you know, as loud as we can shout that, it's very, very important.
Yeah, It is that thing, yep. And we're going to do a thing over the next few months with Crime Stoppers and that as well, where it'll give young people a safe avenue to report people who are carrying knives and stuff like that. So it is, we do need to shout. We need to stand together and we need to shout it loud and we need to stop what's going on in the city.
Alan, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Hopefully you can come back in the future to talk about some of the good work as well that is currently going on. I mean, that is good work, but there's all sorts of stuff you're into
at
the moment.
Yeah, there is.
You're boxing as well, so I think we'll get you back in. That's Alan Walsh, who's a youth worker who works out of the Anfield Sports and Community Centre and runs the Anfield Boxing Club.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.